Okay, so we've been speaking about Carbanos. The request was made yesterday as to whether we could. We were asking about other Carbanos that we have not spoken about. So David asked, "Well, what do we speak about Yitzchak? Was Yitzchak on some level a Carbon, or he knew that on some level he was a Carbon, and he wanted to explore a little bit the nature of Yitzchak? Whereas in general, in a lot of these shiurim, we sort of have to give background information like what is the Minchas Chavitin." And things like that. Hopefully we don't need too much background to what is Akedas Yitzchak, but let me give some anyway, just so things can be presented in a certain way, and hopefully as a result, we'll be able to, I'll try to structure it somewhat similar to the other shiurim, but we'll see, it's a bit of a different kind of Torah. Elements of it will be a little bit more machshava based, but I thought as a, you know, it's Thursday, we needed one to finish off the week, why not? The least we could do for David, you know, one of the longest standing members of this year, it is the least that we could do for him. So we know that we're in Parshas Vayera, and we know that Avram is commanded by Hashem to offer Yitzchak as a carbon or something along those lines, and that we're told that he is supposed to, and we know there's a whole process which takes place. And Avram, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, we learned in the Gemara in Pesachim and Davdal, at least according to one Girsa, the source of Zrizin Makdimin Lemitzvos, that you have to get up early in the morning and do what you can. So Avram gets up in the morning and he brings Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says, "Ayeh Sela Ola," like, where's the carbon? And Avram says, "Well, you know, this is what it is." And then Yitzchak is down, Yitzchak is about to be shechted, and then suddenly, you know, Al Tishlach, don't go, Al Hanar, don't go and don't touch Yitzchak. And they find a different animal, and they offer, or an animal, and they offer the animal as a carbon, and that is known as Akedas Yitzchak. We read about it on Rosh Hashanah. It is undoubtedly one of the more influential and impactful stories, potentially in world history. The Meshech Chachma maintains, as do many others. You find it in Sifrei Chassidus. This was a transformative event in the nature of the Jewish people. In some of the Chassidim, it's from this moment and onwards that we had an ability to be Moser Nefesh in a very, very powerful way. That Aram's Mesiris Nefesh opened up the door, allowed Bnei Yisrael to also be able to be Moser, to be Moser Nefesh. For the Meshech Chachma, you know, the Rambam writes, at least according to some readings of the Rambam, that deep down inside every single Jew wants to fulfill Torah mitzvos. Kofen Oso Atzim Rotzani, the Rambam and Hilchos Gevrishim, Perek Beis HaChachaf, that really deep down inside, the way many read the Rambam, every Jew wants to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. Says the Meshech Chachma, at what point in history did that become established? Like, when did that transformative event occur? So I would have thought maybe it occurred at Maimon Har Sinai. I don't know. Meshech Chachma says it occurs during the Akedah, that as a result of what Avram did to Yitzchak, so that really in many ways changed. That many in many ways changed the nature of Klal Yisrael going forward. There are many questions that Mefarshim deal with. A bunch of years ago, we gave a series of shiurim on the Akedah on Thursday nights to Israelis in the yeshiva. There's a lot of different questions to ask, depending on sort of what you're interested in. There is what is probably the philosophical question, which is why would God need to test Avram? Belkim Nisa Es Avram Nisa. What was the test for? I think God knows what's going to happen, so why did he give a test? One of the reasons, presumably, why a teacher gives a test to students, to know, do the students know the material? It's an assessment of where the students are at, but Hashem doesn't need that. So why would there be a test at all? That's a discussion in, probably it's in Rashi already, but it's in the Ramban, in the Ramban Mor Nevuchim, the Ralbag, and many others. Some relate to a question which we just spoke about, which was, what was the impact of the Akedah? Why was the Akedah so significant? What about it in the history of the world was so great? Some people ask, this is in many ways a more modern question, that I mean historically a more modern question, and that is, you know, the morality or ethics of it. Like, really? God commanded Avram to sacrifice his kid? How is that appropriate? How is that moral? So again, the Kamash Malan of don't do it may be very important. Chief Rabbi Sachs, I think, is a big believer in that. But at least there's something to be said, you know, for that question. Another question we spoke about a bunch of years ago, which is a machlokas between the Rav and Rav Kook and the Shem Yishmuel, was Avraham happy during the Akedah? Was he happy because it's a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah. And the Shem Yishmuel says, if he wasn't happy, So nevuah only comes when you're happy. So had he not been happy, he wouldn't have heard Hashem tell him, Al tishlach yadcha el hanar, and he would have actually gone through with it. And the only reason why he was able to receive the prophecy from Hashem to go through with it was because he was happy, and the Rav had a very different orientation, as many of us probably could envision also. The classic image of Avram at the Akedah was not like the image of a Breslover dancing on top of a truck, you know, in Tel Aviv, but one of very sort of like, not that that was Rav Kook's thought either, but one that was much more serious and focused and maybe even sad a little bit. But if you are learning about Karbanos in a series of Shiurim about Karbanos, so you may wonder about something else. And that, what you may wonder about is a variety of elements of discussions found in Rishonim and Achronim that relate to the nature of Akedas Yitzchak and how it fits with Hilchos Karbanos, Kodshim. Like, what's really going on here? Now, it's possible to argue that what has happened here in the Akedah had nothing to do with the formal rules of Karbanos, the formal rules of Kodshim. You're dealing with a particular test. It wasn't a formal sort of like a Mizbeach Karban kind of an idea. Anything that you find in Chazal that speaks in those terms is probably more agadic. The Avos were not dealing with like, you know, classic Karbanos, like the Yitzhak have all the same dinim, etc. So maybe not, but you do find a variety of indications in Chazal, a variety of indications in Rishonim and Achronim, that what we're talking about may really have been something which resembled, on some level, Avodas HaKarbanos. And that's going to lead us to an additional question, which was, did Yitzchak acquire the status of a Karban? And if so, in what way? And what exactly would that mean? So let's build a little bit, trying to sort of analyze this. Again, a little bit atypical as far as the Shiurim goes, but I think a nice and interesting topic for us to reflect upon. Lefaim. Okay. It's diet soda. Not that cool. Okay. What is, not that the quality of your whatever is corresponds to your frequency in saying Lefaim at all. I was just, you know, wanted to make it clear. Let's start a little bit in the following way. The Medrash tells us that Avram functioned in a certain sense as a Kohen prior to the Akedah. That's helpful for sort of like introducing and modeling things on some level after the idea of Karbanos. Further, where is the Akedah taking place? It's taking place on Har HaMoriah on the Makom HaMikdash. So we have someone like Avram who may be functioning as a Kohen. It's taking place in the location of the Makom HaMikdash. So in a certain sense, there's something here going on that's very, very important. The Meshech Chachma asks the question, we'll see in a little bit, was this more of an avoda, like in the Mikdash, or more of a bama? You can offer karbanos not only in the Mikdash, so what was the exact status of Yitzchak being offered, and what was it really all about? Okay, so it does seem to be modeled on some level after the world of Karbanos, after the world of Kachim. There are many more rayas of that, but I want to focus a little bit. What do we find which is interesting? That's the way that Chazal speak about, in a certain sense, the way they speak about Yitzchak. I want to define it. I want to try to add some Torah to it. I think some of the things we're speaking about today are a little bit less well known. An element of it we spoke about a bunch of years ago in one of the Parsha Machshava Shiurim. In Parshvayera, but let's do the best we can. Number one, many of us know in assessing the status of Yitzchak, well, if it was like a karban, so he wasn't actually offered as a karban, but did Yitzchak have any status? So the Torah tells us in Bereishis, in Perek Chaf Vav, Vahi Rav Ba'aretz, a lot here going on in Toldos and Chayisara, and different Parshas we'll see also, as far as Yitzchak's belief, Vahi Rav Ba'aretz, Milvad HaRav HaRishon Asher Hayav Yimei Avraham. So Yitzchak, there's a famine which takes place in the time period of Yitzchak. He thought of going down to Mitzrayim like Avram did when there was a famine. Don't go down to Mitzrayim. Why should Yitzchak not go down to Mitzrayim? It's from the farshim of a variety of pshatim. Rashi's is the one relevant to us. It's from a Maimer Chazal, says Rashi. He wanted to go down to Mitzrayim. That was what he was interested in doing. But Hashem said, don't go down. She'ata ola tamima. Ve'in chutz la'aretz kedai lach. You are like a pure carbon ola, and it's inappropriate for you to go down to chutz la'aretz. What's the connection between him being an ola and going down to chutz la'aretz? So what? So the Mefarshei Rashi explained the Re'im, the Mizrahi, if you look in the Medrash, a lot of this comes from there also. So it's like this. Because for Yitzchak, the Ola Tamima has to stay in the Makom HaMikdash. B'chol Ha'aretz Chashuva Etzlo Kamo HaAzara. Then in a certain sense, the same way you can't take a carbon out of the Makom HaMikdash and take it out, so Yitzchak was like a carbon, but with an expansion of borders. For him, all of Eretz Yisrael was like the Azara, and he's like Kotche Kotchim. You can't go outside of the Azara. For most regular Karbanos, that means the Azara and outside of it. For Yitzchak, that meant, nothing less than the Medrash, he couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. That his status as a Karban was so powerful and so unique, he was unable to leave Eretz Yisrael because he was like a Karban. Okay. If you go further or earlier in Bereishis and Perek Chavdalet, here we are in Parshas Chayesara. So what happens? Avram wants Yitzchak to get married. So what does he do? Avram pulls over Eliezer. Vayomer Avram el Abdo Zakan Beso. Hamosho b'chol asher lo sim na yachat tachas yirechi. I want you to go find someone for Yitzchak. You go and you find. Why is it that Yitzchak himself shouldn't go? Why can't Yitzchak be the one that goes and he's the one that's going to find a wife for himself? Why does Eliezer have to go? So Rabbi Bechai says, it's also the Chuvas HaRashba, one of the Ramban and Simon Reish Ayin Beis, that because he was Liskadish Benase Ola Timima, because he is an Ola Timima, he is not allowed to go outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Bechai says, Ve'in Kodesh Nasechol. He can't leave. So what we see is the following. Not only, at least in certain days in Chazal, is Yitzchak considered to be on some level, is Yitzchak sort of is Yakeda, like a carbon, with Avram, the one offering it in the Makom HaMikdash, Avram being a Kohen, but it seems like Yitzchak acquired a status, and further, Yitzchak's status as an Ola Tamima persists after the Akedah. Seems like it doesn't go away after the carbon is offered. It's not like the same move we saw with like Parah Aduma or Seir La'Azazel, that maybe you can have a status of a carbon and lose it. It seems like what's going on right now is that Yitzchak is like the Ola Tamima. He's the Ola Tamima. Okay. There is, if we're continuing to dig, again, I'm not aware of people that speak about this so much, but I'm going to try to put together the Makoros that at least I was able to come across in the last little bit. What exactly does it mean, and what in what sense was Yitzchak really considered to be like a karban? What gave him that status? What was able to transform him into being an Ola Tamima? We are going to see, we'll suggest a bunch of different approaches. You can take them or leave them, but I think that they are intriguing nonetheless. Meaning, if you read this seriously, so what does this mean? So the first Mahalach, if you look in the Chuvas HaRashba in source number 6 on the sheet, sorry, I'll share the screen so that you can see it also if you don't have it open. The simplest pshat, I believe, is what the Chuvas HaRashba says. V'yitzchak avinu luleisha niskadesh v'naase ola tamima. Even though he wasn't actually offered, there was a hakdasha. He was sanctified as a karban, meaning prior to offering a karban, you're mafresh it, you establish it as a karban. That being the case, so what happened here, which was very unique and very powerful, there was a hakdasha. So why is Yitzchak considered to be a karban? Because he was sanctified as being a karban at the time period of the Ola. Okay. A second Mahalach, which is a very wild idea, actually, is that maybe Yitzchak's status as a karban, as an Ola Tamima, actually has nothing to do with the Akedah. Or at least not as much as you would think. The Ramban, the Igeres HaKodesh, speaks about the following. It's a little bit intense. We'll try to do it in a way which is okay. But he says, "Kolomar ve'el tos yitzak ben Avram Avraham yitzak is perek vav. Kolomar achar she'amar lo ekeleikos baruchu sar isecha yoledes chaben." So Avram knew Sarah is going to give birth, and now it's time for him to be intimate with Sarah Imenu. So niskaven Avraham bishas achibor kavana yisera al kol midos dos vatovos. That when Avram was being intimate with Sarah to conceive Yitzchak, at that point in time he was incredibly focused on thoughts of Kedusha, Midos, Yeseros, Midabik Machshavaso Be'el Yonim, and he wanted to have a kid who was going to be really at a certain level. And that's Avram Holidus Yitzchak. At the time of conception, Avram was at a very high level. Niskavin Laholid Ben, Shiat Sadik Gomor Kimoso, like a Sadik Ben Sadik, the Gemara Yevamos also says. And then what happened? His tzidkus was so great that there was no mum at all. Yitzchak became perfect. Well, if you're perfect and you're a kulo Lashem, that is the carbon ola. The carbon ola is the carbon which is no mum at all. The whole carbon goes to Hashem. And that was Yitzchak who was entirely pure. Because, says the Ramban, most carbonos, you got to sort of like, you separate some of it, and some of it goes to Mizbeach, and some of it gets eaten by Kohanim and goes other places, and the Or of the Kach. No. When it comes to the Ola, like it's all offered, at least in a certain sense. The whole carbon is Kula Ola Kalil, or for a different time. And that being the case, so he became it's like an Ola Tmima from the conception, says the Ramban. But again, the simple pshaza came from the Akedah. The Chuvas HaRashba says, again, we're talking about real Rishonim. Chuvas HaRashba says that it was from the time of the Hakdasha. The time of the Hakdasha. What else may have given him the status of a carbon? So I'll share with you a very wild and extreme idea, which you can take or leave. This was the subject of the Parsha Machshava from a bunch of years ago. You can do what you want with it. It does not fit with Pshat, but it is a Medrash. I'll begin with the question, which is, Yitzchak does not appear to show up for his mother's funeral. Chayi Sarah, Yitzchak's not there. And the Rishonim wonder, Avram's doing everything, but Yitzchak's the one that should have been involved in this. Where is Yitzchak at his mother's funeral in Parshas Chayei Sarah? Like, what's going on? So there are a bunch of different suggestions. Maybe some Rishonim suggest, since Chazal say Sarah died out of the trauma of hearing that Yitzchak was almost killed, they almost didn't tell Yitzchak about what happened, and they hid it from him, because they thought that would take a major toll on him. Other theories. The Shiboli Halakha quotes a Medrash that what actually happened was, I believe they say in Kisvei Ha'ari, this idea comes up also, that Avram actually went through with the Akedah. He actually killed Yitzchak. That's why the Gemara says in Maseches Zvachim, that the Makom HaMikdash was, here's the Gemara in Zvachim, on Daf Samech Beis, that we saw Afar Shal Yitzchak Ra'u Shemunach Ba'ozo Makom. They saw the ashes of Yitzchak there. Where are the ashes of Yitzchak? He wasn't killed at all. So says the Shibolei Haleket, quoting from the Medrash, the pshat was that he was actually killed there, and that's why he missed his mother's funeral. You know why? The Medrash says he was in Gan Eden. He wasn't alive yet. Hashem then brought him back to life, it's Chias HaMeisim, but at the time, he was really killed. Okay, what do you do with that? I don't know. But if you wanted to understand one explanation for how Yitzchak is, like an Ola Tamima, well, it's not just he was Niskadesh, or just Avram had the Kavana, but he was actually offered as a Karban. And he's offered as a Karban, so he has a status of a Karban. But do the ashes, what's their din and their status after it's offered? Not for now, but that's a Mahalach. That's a Mahalach. There is an additional Mahalach, which I think is intriguing. Let's try to, I don't know if you do, Avi. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Avi, other Avi, I don't know what that means. Like, is that what you were taught in school? You'd have to go to somewhere pretty wild for that to be what they taught you in school growing up. It is the kind of thing which once you hear, you don't forget so easily. Like that pshat as to why he wasn't at his mother's funeral, you will think about that Chayesara time when you see Yitzchak's not there. If anyone ever asks you about the Akedah, like, if you're anything wild about the Akedah, that's what you're going to say. But I don't know. Okay. There is an additional Mahalach. Let's begin and say it the following way. if you look, okay. You know, we'll say two more Mahalchim. The Medrash says that what happened was the Medrash embraces Rabbah and Nunvav test, that when Avram came along and Avram was finally going to be offering the Karban, right here where it's put on the sheet. It's almost like Avram was not willing to move on. I know you said don't offer Yitzchak, but the whole time that Avram is offering the Karban, the aisle, instead of Yitzchak, he's davening to Hashem, consider the blood of the aisle like it's the blood of Yitzchak. Emurav ki'ilu emurav Yitzchak b'nei. Jehad etnan harezo tachazo, harezo tmura zo, harezo chilufezo, harezo tmura. It was taking the place of. Or, Rav Pinchas amar, amar lefan ribon ha'olamim, havi roa ki'ilu hikrafti zed Yitzchak b'nei tchila. Be'arka hikrafti esa aisle hazet tachtav. It's saying in a certain, ki'ilu zeshel Yitzchak. Like a Vlad Chatas. Like what he was trying to do on some level, Avram Avinu, when he offered that carbon, was to offer that carbon as if it was taking the place of Yitzchak. Based on that, says the Brisker Rav the following. It's a Grizz here in source number 7. The Pasuk says that he offered Yitzchak in the aisle, in the place of Yitzchak. Rashi says that Rashi quotes his Medrash in every Avoda. He did, he said, Kol avodah she'asay menu hayam ispala v'omer yiratzon sh'teizo k'ilu yasui b'b'nei. V'tzarech iyan, says Brisker Rav, eza min tefila hizo. Like, what's he davening for? What's going on? Hashem said, don't kill Yitzchak. And he's saying with every part of that avodah, let it be like k'ilu with Yitzchak. Says the Brisker Rav, an additional question, says the Gemara in Zvachim, we saw that the ashes of Yitzchak were found there. There were no ashes of Yitzchak there. Yitzchak wasn't killed in the Akedah. That's the whole point of the Akedah. He wasn't killed. V'nira muchach mikan, says the Brisker Rav, the hakravas ha'ayel nechsheva kakravas Yitzchak atzmo v'dinei ha'akravas shel Yitzchak avru el ha'ayel v'zeu ha'bior tachas bino. In a certain sense, Yitzchak's status, the carbon ayo, was really viewed as an extension of Yitzchak. The model of Temura, the model of Kaparos, if you're paying attention to the lashon there, it's like a Vlad Chatas, like the birth, like the animal that comes from that, from an animal. Also, there's something very powerful going on right here, that Yitzchak's status as a carbon, not just Niskadesh, not just he wasn't technically offered, it wasn't technically offered, but the aisle being offered was really taking the place of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak's status as a carbon, the Ola Tamima, was in a certain sense transferred onto the aisle. But what I would say, which is interesting, the addition I would make, is that in the dinim of Temura, if you ever try to transfer Kedusha from one animal to the other animal, so the Chumash says, Hu u Temuraso yi yekodesh, that both the animal you try to transfer it from and the original and the next one both become Kodesh. So in a certain sense, that animal takes the place of Yitzchak as a Karban, but he's still considered to be the Ola Tamima even afterwards. I mean, the Kedusha, the Ayo takes the place, Lemaisa, as a Hakrava, but it doesn't actually remove the Kedusha from Yitzchak. So again, a lot of these ideas are not like standard, I think, lumdas or standard machsh. I don't know what they are. But at least in terms of formulating and appreciating the role of Yitzchak as being like a carbon, he's an Ola Tamima. For the Ramban, from the time he was conceived, for the Chuvas HaRambam, Yuchas the Ramban, it's that it's a, he was a Hakadosha, he was separated, consecrated to be like a carbon. What we're pointing at is it could even be, for some, one thing to measure, he was even offered a wild idea. Or for the other, at least, the aisle meant it as if he was offered b'toras a karban, with all the avodas we did to the animal were done to him also. They were all done to him also. Okay. I want to say a couple other things. One is just an interesting question. In the Chavetz Hasharon, he talks about, in Parshas Vayera, this is like if you have to be deep into Lamdas al HaTorah, and really buy into this to take it to this place. You ready? We'll just go there for a second. But I think it's intriguing. If you hold that Yitzchak was really like a carbon ola, assumption one. It's not just like a gadic statement of Chazal, ola tamima. And you understand that the dini hakrava, so Avram becomes like the Kohen, and it's really offered like on the Mizbeach. So wonder, some of like, they have to be like a real sort of like, so about, what kind of carbon ola was Yitzhak meant to be? Different kinds of carbon olas. Was he meant to be an olas nidava? Well, hard to be really an olas nidava because Hashem sort of commanded him to do it. So is he an olas nidava? Maybe not. Is it a new kind of chiyuv called chiyuv ola b'toras akeda? Maybe. I don't know. He suggests, and then you get it comes like some like really wild and intriguing ideas. He has a bunch of nafgaminas based on this. Again, you can take it or leave it. But he actually thinks on some level that, that one second. I'm going to find it here. That Yitzhak made with the din of a carbon tumid. He has three nafgaminas as to Yitzchak being more like a carbon tumid. That's not for now, I think, but at least it's what to be said for that. I would point out, we know that Mincha, Shachris and Mincha were parallel to Tamar Shal Shachar, Tamar Shal Ben Harbayim, and the Avo is a connection there, I don't know, but that's that. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, which is somewhat well known, where he has a different pshat as to what it means that Yitzchak was considered to be an Ola Tamima. From David Cohen from Brooklyn, in the Sefer Masas copy, Chilak Hey, page 107, 109, has a beautiful pshat also in light of some of this stuff, but not for now. Says Chasam Sofer, it's a very famous tshuva in Simon Reish Ches, the tshuva the Chasam Sofer wrote to the Maariv Chayes. And it's well known. He has a couple ha'aras there. He pointed as follows. First, the Chasam Sofer says, I think when people speak about the Akedah being Abraham's 10th and greatest test, I think we play down a little bit just how much this is really on Yitzchak. Like how much Yitzchak really, it was an amazing event for Yitzchak to be willing to agree. There's something very powerful about that. V'yitzchak liyada me Avraham, ela me atzmo hiskel, kol masha hiskel Avraham. In a certain sense, there was a certain awareness that was taking place here. A certain awareness that Yitzchak, you know, didn't hear it the same way. So says the Chasam Sofer as follows. The Avos were able to figure out, this is really interesting. The Avos were able to figure out that Hashem wanted Karbanos. They figured it out on their own. No one ever taught them, but the Avos, there were Karbanos offered before Maimon Har Sinai, and no one had to teach them that. But when they were figuring it out, it seemed obvious to them that even though Hashem wants Karbanos, he doesn't want human sacrifice, he wants animals, and that human sacrifice is considered to be inappropriate. They were able to figure that out. To figure that out on their own. Okay. So where does Yitzchak get the status of being a carbon ola? So says the Chasam Sofer as follows. Amen atemal Avram Shoshama Nekash Baruch Hu. Avram atemal Yitzchak Shekibo me Avram Masru Neger Haskoso. Meaning for Yitzchak it's an amazing chiddush because it's against human logic that God would want human sacrifice. And just because Avram told him it, he believed Avraham so much that lo hir hir gam achrei divrei chachamim v'shama pashat tzavaro. In many ways, says the Chasam Sofer, the amazing godless of Yitzchak, that he was just willing to rely entirely on Avraham to do something which was against what he thought would be appropriate. But emes bazeh, shebevadeh Yitzchak ola kula kliel ki ben adam osin nashol shechit v'aktara v'lishom tzipo yishim alit nashol derech hari nashol kula kliel Hashem Yisbarach. Why is Yitzchak an ola? Because Yitzchak's commitment was a complete commitment. It was a complete commitment. It was Mesiris Nefesh Mamish. Same with the Ola goes entirely to Hashem. So Yitzchak's decision at this point was to be able to get to this level of Mesiris Nefesh where he was Kula Ola. He is so committed and so inspired to be with his Baruch Hu. He was Moshe Nefesh Akadekach. That he acquired a status in a certain sense of an Ola. In that sense, for Chasam Sofer, one of the reasons why Yitzchak is like a carbon Ola is not because he was formally sanctified as a Hakadasha of a carbon, but rather there's an overlap between the idea of Ola and the idea of Yitzchak. The idea of Ola was pure, complete, entirely holy, going to Hashem. And That was what Yitzhak was willing to commit to do. And the godless was he committed to do so only by virtue of Avram telling him to do so, even though he knew that it didn't really make that much sense based on everything he knew about Ribbono Shel Olam. All of his halachic intuition told him, no way. But he trusted Avram. He was a firm commitment. None of it was being left over. It was kula kalil. And that's how he acquired, in a certain sense, an ola tamima. He was like a complete ola, says the Chasam Sofer, because of what he was willing to give over. Chasam Sofer points out, he thinks Derech Agav, it's that Yitzhak is the model. Avram is like Torah Shebichsav, it's the clear, direct, what we get from Ribbono Shel Olam. Yitzhak is like Torah Sheba'al Peh. He didn't hear it directly, but it's mipi hashmua, it got passed down from Chachamim. And the godless of Yitzhak, he is the model for the importance of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Of firmly committing yourself to that which you get by virtue of Misora, even though it's not in the text that came directly from Ribbono Shel Olam. That's part of the Chasam Sofer, which is there. Other Torahs also, the Salvechik thought that, you know, it was like Avram was offered as a Yitzhak was offered as a Karban, because the Yitzhak of pre and post Akedah were different people. The Akedah radically transformed his personality, was like he was a new person. But be that as it may, at least we saw, I think, some interesting Torah. We'll have Parsha, I think, people want in a minute. But we saw some interesting Torah about Yitzhak's exact status as a Karban. What does it mean that Yitzhak was a Karban? So what it means on some level is he's like, again, the whole thing may have been many Karbanos focused. There are undoubtedly many Rishonim, and I think many parts of the people in the Stam read Chumash, they're not the issues that bother them, nor would they say, is it really, it's like, you know, using this halachic analogy, you know, figuring out, is he like an Olam, what's going on? But it is an intriguing, I think, element of discussions about the Akedah. It also may be transformative in a particular way. Some, I believe, suggest, if not, we would suggest, it is not coincidental. When we speak about the impact of the Akedah, as we referenced in the beginning of this year, the lessons of the Akedah, so there is overlap, and in many ways, the fact that Makom HaMikdash is where it took place, that there's something about Yitzchak's commitment and Yitzchak's status which sets this tone, as it sets the tone in many ways for all of Mikdash is really about. Mikdash is a place where a person has a certain commitment. All Karbanos, some Rishonim explain, is about the animal like taking your place. They're really, I should be on there, and the animal fills in, very Akedah-like. And the more we learn about the Akedah in a certain sense, the more we may be able to appreciate all that's actually going on in the world of Karbanos. It becomes like paradigmatic, and in many ways like the Karban Tamid, the first that we offer, and a transformational kind of a Karban that we see here. Again, I think something which is intriguing, which is important, which is worthy of us thinking about, again, at least one sort of part of the actual sugya. I hope this was good, clear, and David, I hope it was what you had in mind.